for The Perfect Scam. I'm your host, Michelle Kosinski.
And I'm Frank Abagnale.
Frank has played a doctor, a lawyer, a pilot, and now he's playing a podcast host. He joins me, along with other top fraud experts, to share some of America's biggest scam stories.
Somebody's always going to be trying to come up with a new scheme. It's just too much money to be made easily.
Frauds, scams, con artists, shocking tales of deceit. You name it, we got it all. The Perfect Scam from AARP.
Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. I might add, it's probably never been more important to have a resource like HuntRealEstate.com because of the way our world is behaving these days and what it takes, I guess, to become part of the real estate world, which we're encouraging you to remember is open for business, unlike many other businesses. Although our offices may be closed, our real estate professionals are still busy in the marketplace, and they're busy in a new way, virtually. And that's what really the focus of today's show is. It's really how our market is behaving, given the fact of life that we're all living with under right now. And HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. And we're also operate in the Boston, Massachusetts marketplace, including Connecticut, Rhode Island, and New Hampshire under the ERA Key name. And we are delighted to have them as part of our family. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. I encourage you to call them today at 633-3700 and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's a guarantee of ours. Also, ask about our many exclusive programs, including the pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. That can all be done virtually and over the phone at 633-3700 for personalized, regardless of the circumstances, customized, and service that will still knock your socks off even though we are functioning virtually today. Check out that low rate guarantee. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale here in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, Utica, Watertown, and even Phoenix, Arizona. All you have to do is dial 716-631-4800 for the local inventory. Enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is, and the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street name. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description. Then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that particular property, all automatically and just that fast. Anytime in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other brokers, and in today's world, you never know who you're going to get, who you're going to be able to get a hold of. But if you just dial that one number, 631-4800, we'll connect you with a real estate professional who can help you with any listing, any place in the market today. We're in a very unusual time in the real estate market today, as we are in all parts of our economy. And it's really something that requires a lot of intestinal fortitude on everybody's part. And I appreciate all the mitigation experiences that we're going through and how we're trying to keep each other safe. And there's an element of what's called suppression as well, where, in fact, we're told that businesses can't operate by the government. And this is perhaps for our own safety, but the fact of life is there's many businesses, many people that cannot go to work today. Even if there was a job available for them, there may not be today because of the circumstances. And my heart goes out to all of those people in this time, particularly this time of year, as we all celebrate, many of us celebrate holidays and many faiths. And it's encouraging, I guess, that we can still celebrate, but it's unfortunate that we can't celebrate together. So we have a very special show for you today. We're going to be talking with people that are directly in the market, two of the finest professionals in our business today. That is Michael Burke and Janet Gosch. And these two folks form a real estate team, which is a growing phenomenon in our industry because of the fact that there is recognition in our business, finally, and this may go over your head a little bit, but of something called a division of labor, where people who are good at one thing, specialize in that, and complement the activities of others that may be good at other things that together bring about a real estate transaction, which is a very complex transaction. Good morning, Michael, and good morning, Janet.
Good
Good morning,
Peter. Thank you for the invitation to join you.
Well, it's great to have you on. Let's kind of start with what you two are all about. Tell us about your team and how it operates and even why you created such a thing.
Well, I had the good fortune of joining Hunt over 15 years ago. And certainly, as you can attest, Peter, there's been a lot of changes in our industry, especially technology. But the growth of my business certainly allowed me to add team members, and Janet and I partnered up a couple years ago, and it's been a wonderful collaboration. And Janet can share with you a little bit as well on why she joined the Michael Burke team.
Well, actually, 4 years ago, I got into real estate, and I worked alone for my first year, and I observed the way Michael worked, and I thought I would really like to learn from someone of his caliber. And so I was lucky enough to, like Michael said, we partnered up about 3 years ago. My learning curve, my growth curve was extremely rapid working with Michael, and it's been nothing but a positive experience every step of the way.
And I might add that you two combined as a team are among the most successful teams in the real estate market today here in Western New York. Perhaps if we compared you to others across the state, you'd probably come out pretty near the top of that collection as well. And I appreciate the great work that you do.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Tell us a little bit about really how you have seen things change since we have been under the stay-at-home rule, and also the basically the fact that we are really have to keep our distance from other people. And we're a highly social business. Tell me how you've adapted, and tell me how it really feels today for not just you, but how you think our customers feel today.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I'm very proud of our real estate community and its ability to adapt so quickly to the ever-changing regulations and restrictions with the COVID-19 crisis. It has been a pleasure to see the strong Western New York community and the resilient spirit that consistently shines through amongst the realtors. And we have certainly adapted quickly as a company as well, and we can talk a little bit more about that as we go forward here. But Janet, what do you think?
I can say at first it was shocking. I think all of us can agree. We went through a little bit of shock, grief, and then Hunt stepped in immediately with, well, Peter, your constant communication, letting us know exactly what was going on. And Hunt Marketing was amazing, giving us suggestions on how to change immediately. And the training is available to us daily, and we've taken advantage of it. And for better or for worse, we have to do what we have to do, and we're doing it. I'm doing virtual showing. I didn't really understand how that would work, but like I said, through Hunt, I got ideas. I go into a home. No one is in the home. I use FaceTime. I flip the camera around and walk very slowly through the home, obviously with the potential buyer on the other end. And some of these showings have turned into offers, which has been wonderful. It's been a very successful tool, the virtual showing.
Let me ask you, though, both Michael and Janet, do you feel that the activity level has changed a little bit, a lot, someplace in the middle? And if so, what are the customers saying to you? How do they react? They say, I'll wait. I'm hearing all kinds of things, but I want to hear what you have to say. And I also want to hear what you think our customers are thinking and how they're behaving as well?
That's a very good question. Although the real estate services industry has been deemed essential business, we have to conduct our services remotely for the most part until it gets to the closing process with the attorneys. But there's many rules that we have to follow to operate remotely with our branches being closed. But, you know, buying and selling right now is being conducted virtually with our processes. But I think we have to look at two different categories. You know, we have the essential buyer and seller, the have to or need to people that are relocating, you know, especially those in our medical community, estate settling, financial hardships or divorce. And we also have our non-essential buyers and sellers, those people in category two that want to or would like to sell, you know, whether they want to downsize or are relocating for snowbirds or floor plan changes, more space or amenities. So right now, I think we're trying to focus on the essential buyers and sellers. You know, we have the sellers that are willing to wait if and when we can get back to some sense of normalcy. So those sellers are taking the opportunity to get their houses ready. And many buyers are willing to adapt to the new virtual showing processes too.
Janet, how do you see the customer behavior as, in terms of changing and attitudinally as well as kind of just their day-to-day activities relative to our business?
Well, I have two short stories I'll share with you. One happy, one not so happy, because obviously many people are suffering. And there was a home that I've been working on selling since January. Right before this crisis, we got a very good contract, and the sellers sat down with me to sign the contract and said, "We are so sorry, but we cannot sign. Our jobs were just cut from full to part-time today. We have no idea what the future holds, so we have to wait." Now, I'm confident. Actually, the buyers are waiting also because they love this home. So they're going to wait until this is all over, and then we'll finalize the transaction, which is wonderful. Another very positive story I have, this is about by owners, which of course is another story, but another show. I had a seller who wanted to sell his home for sale by owner, and we talked, and he said, "Well, you've convinced me I'm going to give you an opportunity to sell my home." Well, his home sold within 2 weeks. And obviously, like you said, Peter, the real estate transaction is an extremely complex transaction. He had no idea all that went into it, the inspection, the negotiation, the appraisal. And his house is closing next week. And he can't be happier that he did not go the for sale by owner route. He tells me almost every day he had no idea what this all entailed, and his house is closing, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
You know, those are two very interesting stories, and I'm sure they've been duplicated around our marketplace and across the country quite regularly in these difficult times, which goes to a question that we're receiving by text. And by the way, if you'd like to text us here in the studio, it's 30930. So text us with your questions or comments or call us at 803-0930 if you'd like to participate in today's show. There's a question here. It says, "Peter, with all due respect, can you explain to me why your commission is a percentage of the selling price for residential home sales? why there is a greater fee if my house is more expensive than one down the street. That's a very interesting question. I'm going to take a quick stab at it, and I'd both like both of you to react as well.
Mm-hmm.
The situation with regard to a commission is very similar, for example, to a percentage fee that an attorney might charge in a settlement. That's another story, but it is similar in that respect. And there are many businesses that function where the professionals function as a percentage of the total case, so to speak,
whether
it's law or whatever it might be. But that's not a good answer for this particular questioner. What is a better answer, I guess, is the size of the market relative to the purchase price. For every dollar that goes up in value, there's fewer buyers out there, and it requires, in some cases, a much more difficult and challenging task to find that buyer as the prices go up.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the questioner's concern about, well, it's just a percentage, and how does your cost change? And I guess it's more than cost in terms of dollars. It's the cost in terms of time and effort, and what it takes to find a buyer as a professional, locating a buyer in the marketplace for a more expensive home. Very simply, there's just fewer of them, and it does take a different level of effort and work. But how would you respond to that, both Michael and Janet?
Well, first of all, Peter, you know, research has shown that homes sold with a broker are averaging about 12% higher in contrast to homes sold by owner. We're exposing the property to more buyers. We're properly preparing the home and showcasing it and marketing it. Many sellers don't always see their home through a buyer's eye, so that's why it's so important to properly stage and prepare the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting the amount of listings that are selling above the list price.
Right.
And there's a new show on HGTV that is focusing on expired listings, and the listing agents are going in and making changes, and they're splitting the difference with the seller of what it's selling above the list price. Obviously, in our industry here, we're not doing that with our sellers, but the majority of our listings are selling above list price because of the unique things we're doing in preparing the home and the pre-sale inspection and staging process.
Right. I think I always explain to people the preparation that we put into before we list is invaluable. Just the description of the home, the write-up of the home, the staging, and the marketing that we provide through Hunt. This is how we get all of these people to come to open houses, to call, to show. The marketing is so expansive, and it's something that a for sale by owner, an individual, cannot do on their own. They need the power of our company.
Exactly. And one thing I want to point out to the listeners is when you list your home with a broker, you're also taking advantage of the leverage of the multiple interest that buyers are coming forth with, and with multiple offers, we're able to leverage those to get you a higher sale price and more than paying our commission.
If I can cut through this and just try to get to the bottom line for this particular questioner, mm-hmm. I would say this. What you're both saying is that it's all about the net to the seller, that the commission is a cost of doing business as it is in any particular case. But let's say, for example, this was a personal injury case. It would seem to me that in a personal injury case, the more I got as the victim in the case, for example, the better off I am, regardless of what my attorney might receive in that process. And I'm not speaking for attorneys, but it would seem to me as if I were involved in such a suit, I would be more concerned about what my net is. What am I walking away with? And it's the same thing for the sale of a home. Different, obviously, but it's a similar concept. For example, if you successfully stage and market a home that and in that process you produce multiple offers and it sells for more than list price, which was based upon the best information we had in terms of an analysis of the data available to determine the proper listing price. But if we sell for, if we're able to sell it for more than that, which is common today in the bulk of the marketplace, if that's the case, then it really boils down to what the seller walks away with and the extent to which our marketing systems and the efforts of the individual or team professionals put into that to generate that additional net for the seller. Would you agree?
Correct.
Oh.
Well, there's one other question here, and we're going to have to go to break pretty soon. Wouldn't it follow that a real estate salesperson, as a real estate salesperson, I only want to take on homes that are very expensive? Well, I'll answer that one. If you want to sell fewer homes, because the fact of the matter is there's just very much fewer buyers in the, it's like a bell curve. In the middle of the market, which varies from town to town, but let's say the middle of the market, whatever it might be in Western New York, that's where the most of the buyers are. But it drops off precipitously as you get higher in value. And you, Michael and Janet, you know this because you spend a lot of your time in the higher end of the market. Anyway, we're going to have to go to a break. We'll come back and talk about this. This line of questioning, it's the same questioner, and this is very interesting questioning. But I do, once we cover this, I hope to the satisfaction of our questioner, I would like to return to the conditions in the marketplace because this is what's in our face right now. It's in an everybody's face who's listening to this show. And I think it's very, very important that we bring out from your perspective what's happening in the marketplace and from perhaps my perspective, what's happening in the world around us that's affecting all that, which is what you referred to, Janet, in terms of what we're trying to communicate with everyone. And we'll be right back with more from Our House to Yours after these important messages. Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And again, I'll emphasize the fact that it's probably never been more important to have a resource like HuntRealEstate.com. Not only do we have all the inventory available here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona, but you'll also find access to a complete set of homeownership services at HuntRealEstate.com, including, among other things, our blog, which provides all kinds of information for you. But in addition to that, all of our shows here that we're broadcast live right now are recorded and put on our blog, and they're also available in podcast as well. But if you would like to know more about some of our exclusive programs that are available through our other co-sponsor, Hunt Mortgage, you can reach them at 633-3700 and ask about programs like our Buy the Before and Live the After that effectively allow you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, which is a really important thing in today's world because we have an inventory of homes here in Western New York, many of which are older homes, lovely, beautiful woodwork, all kinds of great architectural features, but they're older. And sometimes when you open up a wall, you'll find out things that might horrify you in some cases. But the fact of life is that there is a way to work around that. That's the buy the before and live the after. You can actually finance all of those improvements. Also ask about our pre-purchase commitment and even our warm home loan. But if you've already been qualified for a loan and you're just thinking about what you want to do, make sure you call Hunt Mortgage today, 633-3700, and ask about our second look program. We'll review what you've received in terms of your mortgage offer, and we'll make sure that you're getting the lowest rate and closing costs available in the marketplace. And if we can offer you something better, we will. But if we can't, we'll give you a gift certificate for $50 just to take a look at that situation that you've been presented with. Sometimes you just get into a situation where it just seems, I just don't want to look anymore. You don't have to. We'll look for you. And that's our second look program. We have a very special show for you today. We're talking about the very practical side of the real estate market today, given the situation in our world and our economy right now. And to help me with that are two of the leading experts in my mind in this field, and they are Michael Burke and Janet Gosch. And they form a real estate team here at Hunt Real Estate, which is one of the most important and I think very significant movements in our industry to where people band together, recognizing each other's strengths and feed off those strengths to provide a higher level of service for you, our customer. Before the break, we were talking about a bunch of things, but let's go to a question here that we received by text. And this is from a homeowner who owns a single-family home on a corner lot with an attached one-car garage, and they're considering either adding a large shed or a detached garage on the side lawn. And they're asking which is a better return on investment, which choice adds the most resale value. And I have an answer, but why don't you, Michael and Janet, each take a swing at that?
Well, I think certainly having an attached garage would be ideal.
I agree.
They were going to put it would be a detached garage, but they've got a one-car garage which is attached now. They're thinking of adding either a shed or a detached garage. What would you recommend?
Definitely the detached garage. I think more space available for not only the cars, but storage is definitely more value added.
Janet, do you feel the same way, or would you add a different answer?
I do. I think that the detached garage is definitely something that, especially in our climate, people are very interested in garages.
And you know, the thing about a detached garage too, that there's a massive difference in utility between a detached garage and a shed. It's going to cost more money. But in the end, in my opinion, to answer this questioner's question directly, it will add more resale value. There's no question in my mind. There's a few things that I would always recommend in this world, our part of the world, that really add value. Certainly a garage is one of those things.
Yeah.
Even a basement. I mean, you can't actually put a basement under a house that doesn't have one. You can, but it's a very difficult process. But if a basement and how dry it is, I mean, what would you say are the key, as long as there's this line of questioning, what would be the key things in terms of added value that in terms of the actual structure itself that you would recommend to a seller?
Well, if it's value added, you know, any type of updating that could be done, you know, certainly focusing on kitchen and bathrooms first. But it really depends on each property. What are the amenities? What has been any recent improvements or upgrades? So we really have to look at each property individually to see if there is an opportunity financially for any seller to make investments.
Well, let me feed off that just a little bit. A lot of it depend on what the conditions in the neighborhood are? For example, you don't want to overimprove a home. At the same time, you don't want to have it underimproved vis-a-vis the other homes in the neighborhood. So wouldn't it require that you as real estate professionals understand what the level of improvements are generally in the neighborhood so that a person doesn't go beyond that, for example, to overimprove their home and thus price themselves perhaps or provide lesser return on investment to those items, for example, like a kitchen or a bathroom?
Definitely.
All right. Well, let's return to, I guess, the issue that is most important, I think, to many of our listeners today, and that's how to function in the real estate market in today's world. And you've touched on a bunch of things already, for example, the ability to function virtually. I have to ask you both, what has been, and Janet, you referred to a few circumstances, direct circumstances with customers that you've been able to work through. But generally speaking, our buyers, I think, Michael, you were talking about two different categories of clients, the essential and that one that might be willing to wait. How are people, I guess if you were to divide the market into those two categories, what do you think is a bigger portion of the market? And let's say just describe what you think is happening in each of those pieces of the market. in terms of real buyer and seller response.
Right.
Michael can expand on this. I know he's been working very hard on one of our listings. The seller has to sell. She found a home that she would like to buy. And so Michael and I have gotten this home virtually staged. And Michael, you can expand on how exactly that happened.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to be working in today's modern technology world with what we're dealing with across the globe. This is really advantageous to us in the real estate industry to have the technology to work remotely. We have a seller we're currently working with who we have had the ability to remotely and virtually consult with that seller with a pre-sale staging consultation remotely with one of our certified stagers. And this was conducted using FaceTime and Skype and circulating photos of each room of the property and consulting with the seller on changes to be made. And that should be going live within the next week. Painting was done, carpeting was changed, and it's just amazing what can be done today, even with the paperwork, with the Authentisign
right.
programs. We do obviously offer clients that do not have access to a computer, you know, the ability to FedEx or overnight paperwork if need be, but everything can be done remotely, which is really a nice opportunity for us. I mean, we're as you mentioned in the beginning, Peter, this is a person-to-person business, and we certainly have flourished on making connections and lasting friendships with our clients. And a lot of that obviously has to be done in person to build that rapport and trust and a collaborative partnership in a real estate transaction. But right now, we're making the best of the situation.
Right.
Right. Modern technology is allowing for that.
So you're saying, which is a very interesting observation. Essentially, the customers are responding virtually. They're saying, okay, I can deal with this. Is that fair to say?
Correct. I think it's more in that category one that I talked about in the beginning, those essential buyers and sellers that have to or need to sell currently. I think the majority of buyers and sellers right now are in the second category, the non-essential want to or like to sell or buy. So I think a lot of people, just with the state of the economy, the state of the world right now, are taking a time to pause and...
Well, let me jump in there for a second. What I'm concerned about here are the whether or not buyers might see this as an opportunity. I mean, prior to this, going back to January, February, two of the busiest months in the history of the real estate market in this country, statistically, and certainly they were at our company, buyers were regularly involved in multiple offers, and we've talked about that many times on this show. And the fact of the matter is, if there's fewer buyers out there, if you divided the market, say, in half between the need to and want to, and I'm not saying that's the case, but let's say we did just for a second, that want to market would... Not some of those people see this as an opportunity to be in a less competitive situation?
Yes, I absolutely agree. The buyers that I'm working with are looking at it exactly that way. The buyers that I'm doing the virtual showings with, they've been involved in many multiple offers, And obviously many buyers now are waiting. So the buyers that I'm working with are looking at it as an opportunity. Less buyers, more opportunity to get the house that they want with less competition. And it's a great opportunity.
I've got to jump in here, Janet. We have to go to a break. But I want to come back and then talk about everyone talk about really what this means going forward in terms of what people are talking about in terms of a surge when all of the suppression tactics are lifted. And we'll be right back with more from our Steers after these important messages. Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com. We continuously revise it, and today's world has probably never been more important for you to go have a resource like HuntRealEstate.com to go to. It's available any time of day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's an opportunity for you to find out, first of all, what's available, also what other services are available, and how you may interact with those services directly, virtually today, in today's very, very different world that we're operating under. Prior to the break, I'm on live today, remote, I might add. We're respecting social distance today with Michael Burke and Janet Gosch, who form a real estate team, one of the leading ones in the marketplace today. We've been talking about various aspects of buying and selling in today's very, very different world, and the fact that our businesses are still open without being necessarily open to the public in terms of coming and going into an office or an open house, for example. We were talking just before the break about the opportunity that some people might see in these conditions to have less competition than they might have had in January, February, even into March, where there were regularly multiple offers on many of our listings, which leaves some people disappointed by the fact that only one person will win. It is a winner-take-all situation. You can't buy half a house. You're going to buy the whole thing. Or not. And when you miss out on a house, it's a very frustrating and disturbing experience because you want to blame yourself or blame the buyer or seller or the other buyers or whatever the case where you're a real estate agent. It's a terrible, terrible situation. And Janet Gosch, before the break, you were mentioning that you're seeing buyers that are seeing this as an opportunity and acting accordingly. But let me take it one step further. There will be an end to this at some point in time, and we will begin to return to some kind of new normal, which is a whole different story, but we can talk about that another time. But let's assume we go back even partially to the way we used to operate. Do you see, Michael Burke or Janet Gosch, do you see a surge at the end of this? And if so, what would that look like?
I do. I'm very optimistic and confident as well that our real estate industry is going to return to a new normal, so to speak.
Yes.
I do feel that at the springtime market, which is usually our growth curve period, there's going to be a rebound effect when the government allows us to go back in a full capacity and buyers and sellers are out there on a regular basis touring properties. I definitely think there is going to be a rebound effect and we are going to be very active. It's going to be a very busy summer. I
absolutely agree. I would
about that.
Well, then what happens then? Do we return to the multiple offer situation where we've got many buyers for not enough available inventory and more frustration? I mean, or do you see sellers also seeing this as an opportunity to maybe just get great value for their property?
Yes, I do feel that we have had as you can attest, a lack of inventory. People have been staying in their homes probably longer than they should, whether it was somebody that was waiting to downsize or somebody interested in moving up or building. So I think there's going to be a lot of movement on both sides, the seller pool and the buyer pool.
So if I could just add,
please,
buyer can buy. If their job is secure and this is something that they're interested in, they should absolutely contact a real estate professional and realize that this can all still happen, and probably to their advantage at this time.
So you're saying, Janet, that it's not necessarily to wait for the surge, but to act now.
Absolutely. If you can, I think it is absolutely to buyer's advantage to act now if they're financially stable and this is something that they've been wanting to do. We're still, as you said, we're still operating. We're still making things happen.
Well, let me play devil's advocate a little bit.
People, as you said, will always need a home. Mm-hmm. And with the interest rates historically low with mortgages, people really should take advantage of the opportunity.
Let me jump in on that mortgage thing just for a second. I'd strongly urge all of our listeners to contact their elected representatives at the national level, congressmen and senators, and urge them to put pressure on the Federal Reserve and the $2.3 trillion that they have determined they're going to be allocating to provide liquidity in various elements of the marketplace today to keep the economy, to keep it moving, that they allocate a portion of that to support mortgage servicers in our world, because everybody out there who has a mortgage is paying it to somebody, making their monthly payments to somebody. The person they're making, the organization they're making that payment to is called a mortgage servicer. That mortgage servicer is servicing that loan on behalf of an investor who actually owns that loan. Regardless of whether the borrower pays that mortgage servicer or not, the mortgage servicer is obligated to make a payment to the investor every month. This month will be the first month probably in history where there will be a large number of simple non-payments. People will just not make payments. There's a perception out there among many that you cannot pay your rent today and that's okay. You cannot pay your mortgage today and that's okay. And that may be in fact true, but there's got to be a backstop to this. Otherwise, the people in the middle, the mortgage servicers, the ones that handle the payment and pay it back to the investors, which I know is a complex topic, but if they have no cash to pay the investors, their liquidity will dry up very quickly. And right now, late Thursday morning, Mr. Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, indicated that he was sensitive to this and he was going to act, but they must act in the month of April. Otherwise, the business as we know it, historically low interest rates will vanish, because the investors will only come into the market to invest in mortgages if the interest rates are offset the risk involved of people simply not making their payments. So that's a key point. But let me go back to the surge for a second. I need your comments on this. One of the things that will not come back quickly, well, hopefully it does, but generally speaking, when you go through a transition in the economy like we're going through, which is unprecedented, the rate of employment, re-employment, let's say, people going back to work, will not happen overnight. They might say, yes, real estate people, you can go back to work and all these other categories. You can go back. You can open up your store again. You can open up your restaurant again. But it's going to be different. There's going to be some new set of rules. But let's say X percent reopens. That will mean that only X percent of the unemployed will go back to work.
Right.
And so this is going to affect the number of people that can buy and sell anything, cars, houses, food, whatever it might be.
Right.
So when we talk about a surge in the industry, aren't we really talking about pressing on the gas and just speeding up a little bit, not really a surge? Or what do you think about that? It won't be overnight, let's face that. But what would it look like, really, in your minds?
Well, I definitely think there is going to be, when the economy is reactivated, that there is going to be an uptick, so to speak, in the real estate transactions. Do I think that will level off a bit? Yes. And our growth as an economy is really going to take some time. I mean, this is an unprecedented time in our history. So it's really going to depend on the government and how quickly they allow everyone to go back to work and at what capacity. And also, you know, until there is a vaccine, we're still operating with safety first. And
right.
You know.
And some of those essential buyers and sellers, I'm sorry, essential sellers are waiting until this is over.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question in terms of what over, in quotes, looks like. And that's something that is going to be not kind of revolutionary. It's going to be an evolution. Some businesses will come back initially. And right now the president is putting together a task force on how the economy kind of reopens and how and when it will reopen. And this will be a very interesting thing to see evolve. And every day with the difference in projections about how deep and far-reaching this pandemic is in our society and the net impact on our society is also changing the interpretations of that, because all of it's built on models, and models are just that. They're models, and sometimes they predict accurately and sometimes they don't. So right now we're right in the middle of it, and we're right in the middle of hopefully we're approaching the flat part of that curve and maybe on the good side of it sometime very soon. That's what I'm hoping for anyway. But that by definition means that this won't be an explosion of new activity. It'll be a partial activity. So going back to the original point here, doesn't that make it all the more sensible to consider, if you're able to, not just if it's a want to, but if you're able to really consider this as an opportunity, this is an opportunity time in the real estate world from any perspective? Would you agree with that or not?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
And what is your advice right now for people, right now? What's your advice? We've got 3 minutes left. Give us your best advice for people listening right now in terms of what they should do relative to the real estate market.
I think people should really take this opportunity to go through their homes. So many people with our dual income households and busy lives have put off doing, you know, and it's not just the spring cleaning. It's going through the old photo albums and the boxes in the basement and things that have filled your closets and your garages. And it takes a while to prepare your home properly to get the most money in today's market. So really take this downtime to go through your property top to bottom. And we have, consulting stagers available for you. So, you know.
I also think if a buyer is thinking of buying, a seller is thinking of selling, they should talk to a real estate professional and let us tell them what we can offer during this time, which would be to their advantage.
Let me put a little footnote on what both of you have said, and this is something that I think is an opportunity for us in our profession as well as for our listeners. You've mentioned, Michael, it's a good time to take a hard look at your property from a physical standpoint, all the stuff in it, its condition, everything that you've mentioned. I'm going to take that one step further. I'm going to ask all of our listeners to ask themselves a question that once you do that, once you look at that house, you look around, take your living in it hat off and took a, you know, what if it were for sale hat and put that back on and really ask yourself another question, which is this house right for me and my family right now? And if it isn't, I think the opportunity for him to make a change and at this time in this market, in this window of time that we're in right now, might be the best thing that we could do. And as a matter of fact, we're going to be running a public seminar on this soon, because I want to engage with our listeners and the public in a more direct way on this. But we've got about 25 seconds left. How could our listeners reach you, Michael Burke and Janet Gosch, and how could they engage with you to learn more about all this?
Well, our buyers and sellers can reach me directly at 474-8155 or email mburke@huntrealestate.com. I just want to say, first of all, real quickly, and Janet, you can also chime in, but I just want to say I'm very proud of our Western New York community and its resilient spirit. And again, shout out to all the healthcare professionals.
Oh, absolutely.
Leaders who are working hard on the front line.
I couldn't agree more. We're going to have to go right now. Janet Gosch, Michael Burke, thank you very much for being with us today. And I'd like to wish everyone a very, very happy and healthy and safe holiday weekend. We'll be back next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of Upstate is Hunt Country.